4. 1 John chapter number 4. When you find your place, if you're willing and able, if you'll stand. 1 John chapter number 4. Bible says this, verse number 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." God, we love you tonight. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. Lord, I ask, God, that you just take the reading, Lord, in your message tonight. Lord, do what only you can do. Help us now. Encourage us. Convict us. Lord, lift us up. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I want to preach to you tonight on as John is continuing this thought about love. Remember last week he talked about trying the spirits. And if you're not careful, you'll think that John is repeating himself with this idea of love. He's not repeating himself. He's just getting more in depth, if you will, as we move along. And the thought tonight that the Lord laid on my heart is the manifestation of God's love. The manifestation of God's love. That word manifestation means the revealing, to make known, if you will. I was reading some different thoughts that some kids, when they talk about love, some of the comments that they made, I thought they were somewhat humorous. I want to read some of them to you tonight. This little girl says, "When my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too. That's love." Rebecca, age 8. "When someone loves you the way they say your name is different, you just know that your name is safe in their mouth." Billy, age 4. "Love is when you go out to eat and give somebody most of your French fries without making them give you any of theirs." Chrissy, age 6. "Love is what makes you smile when you're tired." Terry, age 4. "Love is when my mommy makes coffee for my daddy and she takes a sip before giving it to him to make sure that it tastes okay." Danny, age 7. "If you want to learn to love better, you should start with a friend who you hate." Nikki, age 6. "Love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt, then he wears it every day." Noel, age 7. "Love is like the little old woman and little old man who are still friends even after they know each other so well." Tommy, age 6. "My mommy loves me more than anybody. You don't see anyone else kissing me to sleep at night." Claire, age 6. "Love is when mommy gives daddy the best piece of chicken." Elaine, age 5. I say amen to that one. Praise the Lord. "You really shouldn't say I love you unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot. People forget." Jessica, age 8. John is continuing with this thought of God's love and how it is manifested. Number one, I want you to notice tonight quickly, I want you to notice God's love to us. God's love to us. We see, I want you to look at verse number 8. The Bible says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." I want you to look also at verse number 12. "No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us." Also, I want you to look at verse number 16. "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us." There's that phrase again. God is love. Two times do we see that phrase mentioned in our text, that God is love. We see God's love to us, the essence of love. This word love in your King James Bible is the Greek word for agape. I'm going to be referring to agape quite frequently because I don't want us to get confused on when we say love. You'll hear a kid say, "Man, I love hot dogs." Or you'll hear somebody say, "Man, I love that car." And in our English vernacular, we use this word so many times to cover a lot of ground. But John is very specific on the type of love that he's referring to when he says God is love. He's using this term agape. Agape could be defined as charity. However, we often think of charity nowadays as giving away money or giving away things. But this doesn't encompass all of what agape is about. Agape love is unconcerned with the self and concerned with the greatest good of another. Agape isn't born just out of emotions or feelings or familiarity or even attraction, but from the will and as a choice. Agape requires faithfulness. It requires commitment. It requires sacrifice without expecting any of those in return. Agape is demonstrated not necessarily through speech, but through action. This is the very essence of who God is. It's interesting that John does not say that God contains love, or that God produces love, or that God has some love. No, he says that God is love. It's hard for us to necessarily understand that, but the very essence of who God is love. It's not something that he just, it's who he is. Since this is the very essence of God, we understand that it can only come from God. Look at verse number 7. The Bible says this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God." That means that love comes from God. If you understand with me for a moment that God is love, love is God, interchangeable. God is love. So that understands that only love can come from God. Only the agape love can come from God. Somebody can't be an unbeliever and say that they love the way that God loves. It's impossible. Because if God is love, can you agree with me tonight that God is love? And if our text in verse number 7 says, "For love is of God," we understand that this love only comes from God. A lost person cannot possess this type of love. But this is the essence. For instance, an apple which turns into an apple tree cannot produce oranges. An orange which in turn turns into an orange tree cannot produce grapes. So if God is love, this means that God produces this love. God is love. That's the essence of Him. We see the essence of love. I want you to also see that the example of love. Verse number 9 tells this, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us." Why? "Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." Verse number 10 says this, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." So preacher, when you say, what is this example? We understand that the essence of love, God is love, but we see the example set forth. He tells us the example of how much that God loves us. He tells us in verse number 9, "It was manifested, God revealed this love to you because He sent His only begotten Son." You want to know how much God loves you? He's telling you right here, "I loved you so much that I sent my Son for you. I'm setting the bar, I'm setting the example, if you will."
In verse number 10, the latter part says, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sin. John's saying, listen, God is love, and you want to know how much He loves you? Let me tell you, it's because He sent His Son to die for you. Verse number 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son. Why? To be the Savior of the world. John's saying, listen, I've seen Him. I can testify of this man. Remember 1 John 1:1? I declare these things unto you. I seen Him. I touched Him. I laid my eyes on Him. This man is sent from the Father. Why? To die for you. He gives the example of love. Verse number 16. John says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. That word manifested, it means to make known. It means to reveal. It means to prove, if you say it. See, for instance, I could tell you that I love you, but until I prove it to you, it's up for question, is it not? John is saying, listen, God is love, and now I want to show you how He loves you. See, God didn't just tell us that He loves us. He demonstrated His love. He set the example for us. That word manifested, to make known, to reveal, to prove. He says, in this was manifested. All right, we're going to do something a little bit crazy, all right? This box says God is love. In our text, we understand that God is love. John's saying, in this is manifested. In this is revealed. So if I told you that inside of this box, the love of God is going to be revealed. Y'all can't see. Did anybody see what's in my box yet? All right. Nobody's seen what's in here. I can see it, but you can't. All right. But if I told you that inside of this box, the love of God is going to be demonstrated to you, you're probably curious what's in my box. All right. But here's what we're going to do. I'm going to get Brother Jason. I want you to grab one of those. Be careful. They don't bite you. Just grab one. All right. Let me... All right, Brother David. I want you to grab one. Brother Shane. Everybody's praying that I don't come to them. Brother Ricky, can I give you one? All right. All right, Brother Doug. Brother Jason, can I give you one? Remember, inside of this box, you can look in there. Inside of this box is going to be revealed. God's love will be manifested. Brother Henson, you got the last one. Those of you who have got what I've told you, you're starting to understand that. So inside this box, we're getting ready to reveal God's love. All right, we understand the essence of God is love. And John's saying, now, let me show you how God loves you. All right, so let's do this. Brother Jason, I want you to stand up, and you got to read loudly and clear what you have. Brother David. Brother David. Brother Shane. Brother Doug. Brother Ricky. Brother Jason. Brother Henson. John is saying, this is the way that God's love has been revealed to you. It's that He sent His only begotten Son to be crucified. He left all of heaven. If you were the only person on this earth, if I was the only person on this earth, He would have left the perfect fellowship with the Father, left all of heaven to take on flesh as a mere man and to suffer affliction, to suffer the cross of Calvary, to be beaten, to be spit on. Why? John's saying this is how He demonstrated how much He loves you. It's not something that He's just telling you that He loves you. He's proving it to you. He's setting the bar. He's setting the example. God did not just manifest His love to us by what He said, by what He did. Y'all remember a couple weeks ago, we talked about this agape love. It's love by action. It's what we do, not what we say. God didn't just say how much He loved us. He did something about it. And He proved it to us. Let me ask y'all a question. I want you to think back over this past week, all right? Many of us did many different things, all right? You just think back. Think back maybe yesterday, the day before. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have a hard time remembering what I did 2 days ago, all right? But just try to think with me some of the things that you did. If God put a piece of duct tape over your mouth for that whole week, some of the wives in here be shouting glory, all right? But if God did that, put tape over your mouth, how many people would have known that you love them by your actions? Not because you were not allowed to say it. Couldn't say I love you, but you just had to prove it to them by the things that you did. How many people would know that you love them based on what you did, not what you said? Now, I want you to think about it this coming week. I'm not asking you to take a piece of tape, put over your mouth. But I'm asking you, how many people this week will know that you love them not based on what you tell them? Listen, we can tell people we love them all day long. But based on what you do for them. God didn't just say that I love you, but He did something about it. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that He did something about it. He didn't just tell me, but He did something. Let me ask you this, men. Would your wife know that you love them based on your actions? Not what you say. I can tell my wife that I love her. But unless I do something, what about your kids? What about your coworkers? What about those in your realm of influence? Do they know that you care? Have you done something about it? It's easy to love somebody when they love you back. I want you to look at verse number 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us. You know what John's saying? God didn't love you because you were something to write home about. God didn't love you because you loved it. Y'all know how easy it is to love somebody that loves you back? It's easy. Somebody does something nice for me, guess what I want to do? I want to do something nice for them. It's easy. John's saying this ain't that type of love. He says this is different. Verse 10, he says, not that we loved God, but that He loved us. Then, verse 19, we loved Him. Why? Because He first loved us. God's saying, listen, regardless of what you ever did, regardless if you ever loved Him or not, God loved you anyway. And this is the type of love that John is talking about. He gives the example. God's love to us, we see the essence of love, that God is love, but then the example of it. He made it known to us by what He did on Calvary. I find it interesting. Which one of you men had John 1:11? Came into his own and received them not. You know who those own were? People that He loved. He loved them people. By the way, if that would have been us back then, we wouldn't have received Him either. Those people, He came unto them, came unto His own, and they received Him not. But I find the very same thought, verse number 10. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. John's saying, you didn't love God. You didn't cause Him to love you. In fact, if anything, we did something to cause him not to love us. We did things that should steer any man away from us. But John seen it's not that type of love. It's a different love. Regardless of the things that you thought you could have sent him away, he said it didn't matter if you loved him or not. He loves you anyway. It's agape love.
Verse number 14. The Bible says, "In this we have seen, do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." John said, "Man, I witnessed this guy. I witnessed him." John 1:1. Not only do we see God's love to us, all right? How do we see it? We know that God is love. God demonstrated that. Multiple verses tell us that He sent His Son to be the propitiation, to die on Calvary. He demonstrated, so that is God's love to us. But I want you to notice number two. I only got 2 points tonight, y'all. Y'all should be shouting the glory. Point number two, not only God's love to us, but number two, God's love through us. Let's look at verse number 9. The Bible says this: "In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world." Why? Why did He do that? "That we might live through Him." Y'all, we haven't even experienced living until we learn to live through Him. Jesus said, "I come to give you life and to give it more abundantly through us." Before, we were dead in our trespasses and sin. But in verse number 9, he says, "I did these things that we might live through Him." We must understand, we ourselves are not capable of agape loving somebody. Do you understand that? We don't have it in us. We're not capable of that. Same way, listen, with a lost person, we can't do that. Now listen, you can be all super spiritual on me and say, "Well, but listen, deep down in your deceitful, wicked heart, just like I got, we're not capable of it." But something happened when we got saved. By the way, I'm learning a lot about this, and it really excites me in Brother Van Gelderen's book. What's the name of it, Brother Shane, that I'm thinking about? Is Experiencing Jesus? He talks about this, and I was looking at it today. But something happened when we got saved. There was a divine nature that was imparted to us. We were given a divine nature. We must understand we ourselves are not capable of this agape love. Agape love does not come naturally to us in our sinful state. But when we were born again, God's divine nature was imparted to us. I want you to take your Bible, turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 1. I know some of you are thinking, "Preacher, what are you talking about, this divine nature?" I'm in the wrong text, y'all. I know it's in here somewhere. Anyway, some of you may know what I'm talking about. It says this: "That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature." Anybody know what scripture verse that is? Anybody help me out? If not, you can find it later. Google it on your phone. Anyway, I promise you I'm not lying, but the Bible says that ye may be partakers of the divine nature. So, when we were born again, we inherited a divine nature. God began to live inside of us. Since we now have God in us, He can love through us. All right? Y'all don't worry about the verse. Y'all find it later. Pay attention. All right? Listen to me. Listen, when we got saved, listen, we're not capable of loving somebody like that. But when we got saved, that divine nature, the Holy Spirit of God, indwelled us so that He can love through us. See, God can love people like that. We can't, but He can do it through us. And that divine nature that was imparted is now capable of loving. Y'all ever realize when you got saved that you was able to love somebody you never thought was lovable? That didn't have nothing to do with you. It had everything to do with Him. I've met some people, man, they just got underneath my skin and there was no way that I could ever love them. But something down deep inside of me says you need to love that old boy. You need to love that person. Why? It's God inside of us. Say, listen, you can. Because He can.
God's love through us. Did anybody find that verse? What is it, Miss Kelly? 2 Peter 1:4. What's it say, Brother Shane? Can you read it? You got it in front of you? See, I told you I wasn't lying, all right? We inherited this divine nature, all right? So now God can love through us. How does this happen? I'm glad you asked. Let's look at verse number 12. The Bible says this, "No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us." I love that phrase, "God dwelleth in us." Y'all, if you get your head wrapped around that statement right there, that the Holy Spirit of God, God Almighty, the same God that parted the Red Sea, the same God that spoke the world into existence, is living inside of you. God dwelleth in us. Verse number 13. "Hereby know that we dwell in Him and He in us." Verse number 15. "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God," there it is again, "God dwelleth in him." That word dwell, it means to remain. Y'all know how people believe you can lose your salvation because they don't study the Bible. If that word dwell means to remain, in other words, he ain't going nowhere, then how can he leave me if I mess up? Y'all see what I'm saying? If we just studied to show ourselves approved a little bit, we would understand the doctrines of the Bible. But he said God dwells. That's not just a temporary assignment. It means to remain, to be there permanently. In other words, he's taking up shop and he's not going nowhere. God dwelleth in us, John's trying to tell us. To remain, not to depart. I love this definition. To be held. To be kept. And then it says continually. Verse 13, "Hereby know that we dwell in Him and He in us because He hath given us His Spirit." So how do we know that? Verse number 13 says this. How do we know that we have God in us? John said, listen, let me tell you how that you can have this agape love. At the end of verse number 13, he says, "Because He hath given us His Spirit." You got the Spirit of God. God's dwelling in you. You're capable of loving people this way. Not because of me, not because of you, not because of a preacher, not because of a church, because of God has taken up residence in your life. He's dwelling in you. So how does God love through us? It's because of His Spirit. God dwells in us. But why? Why? Number one, it's commanded. Why do we worry? Why is John reiterating this love, this agape love? It's commanded. Look at verse number 7. "Beloved," what's he say? "Let us love one another." What's verse 11? "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to do what? Love one another." What's he say in verse 20? If a man say, "I love God," and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. It's almost like John could see into 2020 of all the discord among the brethren. It's almost like he's looking through time. John don't have a clue. The Holy Spirit is inspiring him to write these words. But it's almost like, man, he could look down at some churches in 2020 that are fighting and feuding and having discord and getting upset because of this or getting upset. Man, we're seeing all throughout his text that he say, listen, you need to love one another. Y'all, we need to take heed to that tonight. We need to take heed to it. Also, the church down the road ain't our enemy either. We're on the same team. And just because they may use a different color songbook or a different type of pew or a different color car, listen, they ain't our enemy, all right? The word brethren here, the word brethren, listen, or brother, it's not talking about just a local assembly. It's talking about anybody who's saved. All right? Brother in Christ. But it also can be applied to loving the world too. But why? It's commanded. Loving people, y'all listen to this. Loving people as a born-again Christian is not optional. It's not optional. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Verse number 20. If a man say that I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. John's calling some folks out. You get up, testify how you love God and God's been good to you, but yet in your heart there's bitterness to somebody else, another believer. He says that you're a liar. You don't love God. Yeah, if you're sowing discord and you're hating people of God, you don't love me. Something I've learned, y'all, the more I love God, the more He convicts me and changes me, the more I love people. It's absurd to claim to love God but not show love to His people. For instance, let's say that Brother Jeff comes to my house. Let's say that I know Jeff. Let's say not. I don't know him very well, but I know him, let's say, from work or something. All right, my house is on the side of the road. It's cold. Let's say 15 degrees out. Let's just make it real detrimental, all right? And let's say that Jeff, man, he gets a flat tire right in front of my house. And let's say that, man, I just happen to own a tire shop, all right? Jeff's like, man, this is awesome. Philip's got a tire shop, man. He'll help me when I get on my way, get home to my family. Now, I know Jeff from work. Now, Jeff's got two of his little kids with him, all right? We're just imagining it here, all right? He's got two of his little kids with him. I don't know his kids, but I know Jeff. And it's about 10:30 at night, and all of a sudden, I'm sitting in my recliner or whatever, and I'm sitting there, what in the world? Who could it be? So I open it up. Oh, it's Jeff. Jeff's standing outside. He's cold. Hey, Philip, I got a flat tire, and I was wanting to know if maybe you could help us out. We could come in and get warm just for a minute. Sure, Jeff, come on in. But then behind him are his two kids. I don't let them in. I shut the door in their face. But I let Jeff in. But if I truly love Jeff, I'm going to love his children. You know what God's saying? It's saying that you're like letting me in the house, but you're shutting the door on my children. How can you say that you love me, but you don't love my children? How can, and then he goes on to say this. Look at the end. Verse 20. If a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? How can you, how can you not love these people who are right in front of you? And then you say that you love God whom you haven't seen. It's like saying that we're going to let Jeff in, but we're going to shut the door on his kids. And y'all, in 2020, it's happening like crazy. We're saying that we love people. As long as we get our little pat on the back, as long as we get something in return, John's saying this ain't that type of love, y'all. See, this is something different. This is something we ain't even capable of, but it's only by the grace of God inside of us that it can even happen. It's commanded. Number two, it's commissioned. Look at verse number 7 again, the latter part. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Loving people is an indicator of, number one, that you belong to God. Loving people is an indicator that you, as a Christian, belong to God. Remember, this love is only available to a born-again Christian. We've seen that in the first part of verse number 7. When you love people, you're indicating that there's something or someone inside of you who is calling the shots and that you belong to God. Now, I'm going to make a bold statement, y'all, and listen, just bear me out for a minute, all right? I'm all for passing out tracts, okay? I try to pass them out everywhere. When we go out to eat, when the drive-thru, the bank, whatever, I try to pass them out. Why do we do it? It's got the gospel on it, all right? We want people to know about our church, don't we? Amen? Come on, all right? Now, that is a good method, okay? But can I tell you a greater method? Loving people. Loving people. Look at what he says. Verse number 7, latter part. And everyone that loveth is born of God. He said, you know what? As a born-again Christian, when you love people, it's going to identify with them that there's something else going on. When you love people who don't deserve, if you will, the love. Maybe they don't, they're the outcasts of society. Maybe they're a little bit different. But when you love them, not by what we say, but by action, when we invest time with them and we care about them and we really love them, that's the best method of evangelism. Because you know what? When they hear the gospel, their heart. You know what makes me so mad? Somebody leave a gospel track of our church in the gospel of Jesus Christ and be rude to their waiter or waitress. That's uncalled for. But when you love on them and you keep dripping on them and you keep reaching out to them and you keep caring for them, their heart will be ready when the gospel is presented. That's what Paul said in Corinthians. He said, some watered, some planted. Listen, y'all, we're so numbers crazy, don't we? We want to lead somebody to the Lord, and then we want everybody and their brother to know about it. We want to broadcast it. Why? Because we want the acceptance of men. But how many of you know when you love somebody who's not saved and you really reach out, if somebody else come and knocked on the door and won them to the Lord, you had just as much part in it as they did. It's not who walks them through the Romans road or walks them through the sinner's prayer. Listen, there's a lot more to it. And John's saying this, listen, when you love people, that's the best way. Demonstrate. Don't just say. Demonstrate how you love them. That's what the Lord did. And y'all, when we love people who are hard to love, listen, that the world doesn't offer them that. The world will love them as long as they get something in return. But when the people of God love them without expecting anything back, and we demonstrate that to them, man, when they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, their heart is ready. He says, he that loveth, you're a born-again Christian, born of God. Verse number 7, he that loveth, everyone that loveth is born of God, but also this. So it's an indicator that you belong to God. But it's also an indicator that you know God. Verse number 7. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. This is not this is not like, hey, Brother Jason, I just met you type no. No, this is a I'm getting to know Him. I've met Him, I've been saved, but I'm getting to know Him on a deeper, intimate level. When we love God, it's an indicator. When we love people, it's an indicator that we know God on an intimate basis. By the way, you can belong to God and not know God. You can be saved, but be a babe spiritually, and you don't have an intimate relationship with Him. You can belong to Him, but not know Him on an intimate level. But when we love people, verse number 7, the very end, it's an indicator that not only are we born again, but also that we know God on an intimate level. When you love agape, it's an indicator that you belong and that you know. Lastly, I'm done. We see how, because the Spirit of God dwelleth in us, but why? It's command, it's commission, but also it's comforting. Look at verse number 16. The Bible says this, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. I love what John says in verse number 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. I mean, y'all, do we really understand and believe the love of God that was demonstrated to us? I mean, when you think about what Jesus went through, the love of the Father, John says this, he said, man, we know it and we believe it. Verse number 16. John says, when you have known and believed the love of God has for you, I love what he says. Verse number 17. that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. He says you can be bold and not afraid. I'll say this and I'll be done. John said when we understand the love of God, there's not going to be a fear when it comes back for us. I remember Natalie, she was learning how to ride her bike right over here. And she picked it up quick. All right, I told her not to do something, but she did it anyway. She rode down this little steep little grass embankment. And she crashed. Now, Natalie, in her heart, she probably remembered that Daddy told her not to do it. But she laid there, tangled up in her bike, and I could hear her cry. So what does a good daddy do? I come running to her. Now, at the moment, Natalie may have been thinking about the consequences, but in all reality, she just wanted her father to pick her up. See, when we understand, John said, when you understand that God is love and He's what He's done for you and how much He loves you. Listen, I know you've made mistakes. I know you've messed up. And I even understand you probably aren't who you should be. But when He comes back, He's not worried about the consequences. He's not worried about that. It's like a father running to his child, even though they may have disobeyed, even though they've messed up. But as they come to pick them up, when the rapture of the church, it's like a little boy smiling, waiting for the return of the Lord. He says, man, when you understand this love, there's going to be a boldness. When we understand the love of Christ, y'all, we've all messed up. We've all made mistakes. He says, but when you realize how much God loves you, there's going to be a day when He steps out and when He comes for you. He took all the wrath of sin on Calvary. He's not coming for that. He's not coming to judge you for that. It's already been done. But He's coming to take you up to be with Him. He said, and when you, Johnson, when you understand that, verse 16, we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. It's like a little boy smiling. It's like Natalie, which tangled up in the bike. Man, she sees her daddy running to scoop her up, and everything will be all better. God is love. God, we love